Rainam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Chapter entitled Divinity and Divine Service, text number 14. Tasmad ekena manasa Bhagavan Satvatam Pati Shrotavya Kirti Tavyascha Deya Pujyascha Nityada. Tasmat. Therefore. Ekena. By one. Manasa. Attention of the mind. Bhagavan. Personality of Godhead. Satvatam. Of the devotees. Pati. Protector. Shrotavya is to be heard. Kirtitavya to be glorified. Cha and Deya to be remembered. Mpujya to be worshipped. Cha and Nichida constantly. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the Personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Translation responsibly. Therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the Personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Purport. If realization of the absolute truth is the ultimate aim of life, it must be carried out by all means. If any one of the above mentioned castes and orders of life, the four processes, namely, glorifying, hearing, remembering, and worshipping, are general occupations. Without these principles of life, no one can exist. Activities of the living being involve engagements in these four different principles of life. Especially in modern society, all activities are more or less dependent on hearing and glorifying. Any man from any social status becomes a well-known man in human society within a very short time if he is simply glorified, truly or falsely, in the daily newspapers. Sometimes political leaders of a particular party are also advertised by newspaper propaganda. And by such a method of glorification, an insignificant man becomes an important man within no time. But such propaganda by false glorification of an unqualified person cannot bring about any good, either for the particular man or for the society. There may be some temporary reactions to such propaganda, but there are no permanent effects. Therefore, such activities are a waste of time. The actual object of glorification is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created everything manifested before us. We have broadly discussed this fact from the beginning of the Janmadyasya Shloka of this Bhagavatam. The tendency to glorify others or hear others must be turned to the real object of glorification, the Supreme Being, and that will bring happiness. Omigyan Timanandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshiran Militanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vansha Kalpat Rubyascha Kripa Sindhubi Evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare. So we mentioned in previous classes that Srila Prabhupada has said that this particular chapter of the Bhagavatam, what is it called?
Divinity and Divine Service.
Divinity and Divine Service. What did Prabhupada say about this chapter? You should memorize the entire chapter because it's so important. The entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness, the entire philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is coming from this chapter, basically. Rupa Goswami bases the process of devotional service to Krishna in the nectar of devotion, which is called the science of Bhakti Yoga. Then, in that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami, he explains that devotional service, or the process that we follow in devotional service, is a gradual development of devotion to Krishna from the level of Shraddha to Prema. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prema. These nine levels of devotion. All of us have to go through these nine levels of devotion. This is how we progress in Krishna consciousness. So Shraddha means faith. Krishna consciousness begins with faith. How do you get faith? How do we get Shraddha? Because that is the beginning, that's the first level. Where does it come from? Yeah, ultimately it comes from a devotee who has faith. Haridas Thakur explains in the Harinam Chintamani that in this lifetime and in previous lifetimes we perform huge amounts of agyata sukriti. Agyata sukriti means unknown devotional activities. And just an example, you could say in our previous life we may have been born in India, which is a very pious place. It used to be a very pious place. Still pious, but two things are there now. Piety and impiety. By the effect of Kali Yuga, there's other things in there. It's a pious place. So, say in your previous life, you dug a well. You're not a devotee. You're not a Vaishnava. You may be a devotee of Lord Shiva, or you may be, you know, just a wealthy merchant like that, who follows Vana and Ashram or something. You may not be a devotee. But you dig a well, and you happen to dig that well, say, you know, you dig it on the way to Vrindavan, close to Vrindavan. And then many devotees, right, are traveling to Vrindavan, walking from Jagannath Puri or Mayapur or around India. They're walking to Vrindavan, and many devotees go past your well that you dug, right, and they drink the water from that well. So every time a devotee drinks water from that well, right, that is a gyata sukriti. That is unknown devotional service, or unknown bhakti. You are serving Vaishnavas, even though you don't know that you're serving the Vaishnavas. And even now, in this lifetime, you can be sitting here, and that well that you dug 100 years ago in your previous life, devotees could still be walking past there today, right now, and drinking out of that well, and you are getting blessings, or you are making spiritual advancement just from that activity. That is called agyata sukriti, unknown devotional service. So, Haridas Thakur says, when you perform heaps and heaps of unknown devotional activities, that will purify the heart, that will make the heart ready for bhakti. Now in this lifetime we see it is also happening. Just like we've been running Crossways down in Swanston Street in its present location, I think for about 25 years, where it presently is. Gopal's has been there for 30 years or 35 years or something, in that place, right? So people come in there every day and they take prasad, and they don't know it's prasad. They just think the Hare Krishnas are selling cheap food. So I'll go there because it's cheap. And you get a good meal. You get like $6 and you get, you know, as much as you want to eat. So it's good value. So people come. But they don't know it's prasad. They don't know the food has been offered to Krishna. So it is unknown devotional activity. But every time they take prasad, it is purifying their consciousness. So when you do heaps and heaps and heaps of this devotional service, unknown devotional service, it purifies the heart. And then, at some point in time, Shraddha enters the heart. You meet a Majjhima Adhikari. Majjhima Adhikari means a preacher. Some devotee comes on the street, right, and gives you a book and says, please take this book, right, and then you've been eating prasad for many years at Crossways. So, yeah, I've taken your food, I know you Hare Krishnas. I've heard the Harinam chanting around the city for many years. I've heard people chanting the holy name. And the mantra has gone into my consciousness and purified me. So they don't know all these things, but then they get the opportunity. And they dug that well, right, in their previous lifetime. And they're still getting the benefit from that. And then they walk down the street and someone says, take this book. And then they take the book, and because the heart has been purified unknowingly by all of this devotional service, then there's some shraddhas there, they have faith, and they say, yes, I will take the book. I will give a donation. And then hopefully I will read something from the book. And then the consciousness becomes purified. And then what happens? Shraddha. Shraddha means, oh, there's something here. Faith. Oh, I think there's something in this. I have faith. There is something in this. Right? And then that faith, that is the beginning of devotional service. Right? Shraddha. Rupa Goswami says, Shraddha, this is the beginning. So then from Shraddha comes Sadhu Sangha. What happens when you get faith? Then you want to associate with devotees. Let me find Sangha. Means let me find the Sadhus. Let me find those Hare Krishna people. Let me go there to this Bhakti Lounge or this Gauri Yoga or this Urban Yoga. Let me go there and let me associate with these Sadhu people, right? So Sadhu Sangha, then we get faith that we should associate with these devotees. And then what comes from that? Next level is? Bhajana Kriya. Bhajan. Bhajan means? Yeah, what does Bhajan mean? Means worship. Yeah. Bhajan, Kriya, what does Kriya mean?
Activity.
Activity, yeah, activity, means force. Kriya, to say, there's a car parked, sometimes you see another car, just like the other day we saw another car hit another car at the traffic lights, right? So one car is stationary, another car comes, right? That is called Kriya. Kriya means active or force. So Bhajan, right? Bhajana Kriya means, what do the devotees do? Right? I have some faith. I should come to this urban yoga. I should associate with the sadhus, sadhu sangha. And what do the sadhus do? Prabhu, can you please help wash the pots? Can you please do some service? Can you please help clean up after the program? Like this? And you say, yes, 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 no problem. And that is called Bhajana Kriya. Devotees are engaging you in bhajan, giving you some nudge. Please, go in that direction. Some force, like momentum. Devotees say, okay, please, do something for Krishna. Like that. Prabhupada Vishnu Swami, a great follower of Srila Prabhupada, one of the gurus in the Hare Krishna movement, one of the great disciples of Prabhupada. He came to the temple, and first time he came to the temple in London, devotees asked him to give a donation. First time he came to the temple, asked him to give a donation, so he pulled out his whole wallet and gave them the whole wallet. He said, here, take it, take everything. Right? And then after 3 days of being in the temple, he was sent to open a temple in Wales or something. Another part of England. 3 days. Go and open a temple. Him and another devotee. Go, open a temple. So he had to learn how to do kirtan, give class, all these things. So I heard him saying one time that this is a pushing movement. Kriya. Kriya means force, energy, pushing. You know, he'd been in the temple for 3 days. And what did Prabhupada say? Go and open a temple. Pushing. Prabhupada just pushed. Go. Open a temple. That's how Prabhupada started the movement. Pushing. Momentum. Force. Bhajana Kriya. Okay, they want to come and associate with me. Prabhupada. They all came to associate with Prabhupada. With Prabhupada's devotees. They came to associate with him. And then what did Prabhupada do? What did the sadhu do? Push them. Now go and preach. You want to serve me? Serve my bani, not my bhakti. One time, Prabhupada was in Bhaktivedanta Manor. You see that picture, the famous picture that we worship? Prabhupada sitting on the lawn in Bhaktivedanta Manor. You've seen there's a video. So Prabhupada used to go out on the lawn every afternoon. He stayed in Bhaktivedanta Manor, I think for about 2 months or something. And every day he would go and sit out there on the lawn with Shama Sunda, his secretary. So Prabhupada was sitting there, and some devotees, they got back from book distribution about 4 in the afternoon or 5 in the afternoon or something. They came back from book distribution and they drove their van in, and then Prabhupada was sitting on the grass with Shama Sunda, and they saw Prabhupada. So they thought, oh, we get an opportunity to be with Prabhupada. So they came over, kind of slowly came over, and they paid their obeisance and they sat down like a little bit away from Prabhupada and Shama Sunda, and Prabhupada was sitting there like he is there chanting his japa and speaking to Shama Sunda, and he looked at these boys, kind of looked at them and then looked away, and then they were sitting there for a few minutes, and after a few minutes Prabhupada said to Shama Sunda, he said, don't they have something to do? He said, haven't they got something to do? They're just sitting here like just want to be with the guru. You know, sometimes people just sit there, just looking at the guru. You know, the best ones when you get on a train in India, and the person sitting opposite you on the train just goes. For 8 hours. I mean, what's that about? So Prabhupada, the boys were sitting there, just looking at Prabhupada, for a few minutes. Prabhupada said, don't they, he said to Shama Sunda, don't they have something to do? And as soon as they heard Prabhupada say that, they offered their obeisances and they went and found something to do. And Prabhupada was not like that. Sadhu Sangha means Prabhupada started the movement. Everyone wanted to be with Prabhupada, but Prabhupada didn't let very many people be with him. Right? You came, and then Prabhupada pushed. Now go. Go and open a temple. Go and distribute books. Go and do something. I remember in 91 or 92, I went to Sydney with my Guru Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he was staying at Narasra Prabhu's house in his apartment. And, you know, I went to Sydney to spend some time with him. So I was there and he was there, and Radha Krishna Prabhu's servant was there in Narasra. And we were in the apartment and I was chanting my japa, and I was there for a couple of hours in the morning and just being around the guru. And then after a few hours I thought, this is boring. You know, I'm just like here and he's there, and it's like, you know. And he was also getting a bit like, you know, what's this guy doing here? So then after a couple of hours I said, oh Gurudev, maybe I'll go and distribute books. And he said, good, go, do something practical. This is not really, you know, associating with the guru means associating with the guru. The most important service that you can render to the guru is hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from the guru. That is the service. And that was basically what most devotees did with Prabhupada. Prabhupada would come, he would sit right there, like he is doing now, right, and everyone would come and sit here, right, and they would hear from Prabhupada. And that was most of the association they got. Just like you look at His Holiness Devamrita Swami. How much personal association did he get with Srila Prabhupada? Right? He was working on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that famous marathon they did. And Prabhupada was walking on the beach. And I think in Los Angeles, he was walking on the beach. And Rameshwara Prabhu was walking with him. He was in charge of the BBT at that time. And Prabhupada said, I want the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Prabhupada was translating it, right? I wanted my translation to be finished. I want it printed, right? Edited, printed, all the artwork done for the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, the whole 17 volumes, in 2 months. They're walking on the beach, and he said that to Rameshwara. I want it all finished in 2 months, and Prabhupada just kept walking. Right? And then Rameshwara was walking with Prabhupada, and Rameshwara Prabhu smiled. He said, oh yeah. And he looked at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wasn't smiling. Prabhupada was just walking. And then he thought, my God, Prabhupada's serious. He wants the whole thing done in 2 months. And he said to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, that's impossible. And Prabhupada stopped, put his cane down. He said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And then he kept walking. Right? And that was it. And that was the marathon that began. 2 months. They produced the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. Everything. From Prabhupada giving them the translations, you know, in the dictaphone, the tapes, and then the whole thing produced and edited and finished and given to Prabhupada in 2 months. Right? Everyone was sleeping 5 hours or less a day for 2 months. Everyone. 200 devotees working on it full time for 2 months. Artists and everything. The devotees, they were doing the artwork, so they were painting the pictures, which are in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the original pictures. And then they would go and take some rest because they were so tired. And then Rameshwara Prabhu would get a different artist to come in and keep doing the painting. Right? And artists hate it when someone else touches their work. Yeah? Is it like that, Rasa? Yeah, okay. But in an imaginary world where you were painting?
In an imaginary world,
I would agree with you. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So we understand that an artist does not like another person to come in the middle of doing their artwork, right? The artwork is half done and someone comes and keeps doing the painting. But Rameshwara Prabhu, because he wanted to get the whole thing finished, then he was getting devotees to come, one to take rest, he'd say to another artist, okay, go on, keep going. And then that devotee would wake up and come back and it was more complete, the painting, and he'd go crazy. And the devotee would go, who's touched my painting? Like that. And then Rameshwara Prabhu would say, oh, this devotee came and did it like that, and they'd go crazy. Artists are crazy sometimes. Right? They say, who's touched my painting? Who has touched it? Like that. This is their nature. Artists are like that. Also, cooks are like that. Huh? I can tell some past ones with Korma Prabhu in the kitchen. One time I was cooking with Korma, because I don't know anything about cooking, you know, so I just go and sometimes I go and help in the kitchen. That's my contribution to the Krishna consciousness movement. I go and help. I don't know how to cook, so I just went to help. And then I was in the kitchen with Korma Prabhu. This was about, I don't know, 93 or 94 or something. I think we were cooking the Radhashtami feast. It was a big feast. So he said, drain the chickpeas, you know, big pot like this, chickpeas. He said, drain the chickpeas. So I drained the chickpeas, put them into another pot, and then all the juice from the chickpeas, I just, you know, I thought, oh, you know, I just poured it down the drain and then put the pot away, wash the pot and put it away. And after half an hour, he said, where's that chickpea juice? And I said, oh, I put it down the drain. And he said, you what? I said, you what? He went crazy. You what? He just blasted me, and I just stood there and I was like, well, you know, I'm very sorry. I really felt bad, but I just, I know, it was an honest mistake. I've never done it again since then. I now understand the significance of chickpea juice. You don't pour it down the drain. So I didn't do that ever again. But I learned from there. But he was extremely like that. He came the next morning in Mongolian and said, "I'm sorry." I said, "No problem. It was my mistake." Like that. So Rameshwar Prabhu was doing this. So for 2 months, the devotees were working, 200 devotees full time. And David Marita Swami, His Holiness, was one of those devotees working on that, right? And the only personal association that David Marita Swami ever had with Prabhupada walked in, right? He was in the room. I don't know what he was doing on that particular project. He was doing something in the room with other devotees. Prabhupada walked in and he looked down at David Marita Swami, what he was doing, and Prabhupada said, And then Prabhupada walked out. That was it. That was David Marita Swami's personal association with Prabhupada. Right. Prabhupada said, Right. Very happy with his disciple's service. Blessed his disciple. Empowered his disciple. And now his disciple's empowered. Devi Marita Swami is empowered by Prabhupada. He's empowered Acharya in his own right. Right. This is Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya doesn't mean you walk around the guru, you know, behind the guru all day, just looking at the guru. Just like that. No, it means Prabhupada says, come on, do something. Another time, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and there was one devotee who was a little bit eccentric. Sometimes in our movement we get people a little bit eccentric, join up like that. I'm one of them. So this devotee, every morning Prabhupada would walk into the front gate, he'd go for his morning walk, and he'd come back into the gate, into the temple. And then the devotee would stand there every day as Prabhupada would walk in, and he would chant Sanskrit prayers to Prabhupada. Or in English, I can't remember if it was in English or Sanskrit. And there's one verse just at the end of the previous chapter, the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, says, "We have met your divine grace by the will of providence." So every day Prabhupada would walk in, all the devotees would be following Prabhupada and walk in, and he'd be standing at the front gate saying, "We have met your divine grace by the will of providence." So he did this for 4 days in a row. First 3 days Prabhupada just kind of walked past, didn't even look at him. On the fourth day Prabhupada stopped and he said, "Do something practical." He said, "There's rubbish there, clean it." And Prabhupada kept walking. And that was Prabhupada. Yeah, Prabhupada wasn't into all this, ooh, you know. Like that. Prabhupada was practical. Do something practical for the guru. If you want to serve the guru, if you want to get close to the guru, right, if you want to be noticed by Krishna and by the guru, then you serve the guru's mission. You spread Krishna consciousness. Right? You assist the guru in spreading the mission. Prabhupada said, you cannot repay the debt to the guru. You can't repay the debt. Right? It's not possible to repay Prabhupada. None of us can ever repay him. We can't repay our spiritual master ever. Prabhupada said, if you want to try to repay, he said, then you preach vigorously like me. Prabhupada said, you want to try to repay me? You preach vigorously like I am preaching. Then you can repay something to the guru. So that is practical. That is service to the guru. So that is for Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya means you come to the association of the devotees. What do the devotees do? Devotees say, "Okay, Prabhu, would you like to do some service?" Okay. This is the nature of associating with devotees. It means you have to do something practical. So the Bhagavatam in this section, it's describing this. It's describing Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. Then what takes place when Bhajana Kriya? Anatta Nivritti. What is Anatta? Huh? Artha means artha, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. What does artha mean? Yeah, something valuable, something which has value. That is artha. Anartha means something has no value. Right? There's no value. Most of the stuff that's in your consciousness, most of your material desires, they have no value. Right? You think about what you're attached to. In this material world, it has no value. Right? We get attached to the most ridiculous things. Right? You get attached to your Rolex watch. Right? It's not a Rolex, but but you get attached. Oh, it's a Rolex. It's a Rolex. Like that. It's my Rolex watch. Like that. It's my watch. Like that. Or you get attached to your Birkenstocks. You know, you get attached to your Samsonite suitcase. Or you get attached to your, you know, Lacoste t-shirt. Yeah, it's got a little alligator on it. Fuck off, right? So you get attached to the most ridiculous things. That's the nature of the material energy. But this is called anartha. Anartha means it has no value. Just like if you could have any car, right? If someone said you can have any car you want, which car would you choose? Any car. Yeah, Mercedes, like that. Or, if you want to go really into it, right, what does the Queen of England, what does she drive? Right? Rolls Royce. Right? Let's consider like that. That's the topmost. Rolls Royce. Handmade cars in England. Like that. So what happened? Prabhupada was picked up in Melbourne at the airport in a Rolls Royce. Right? Most valuable thing in the material world, Rolls Royce. Sign of perfect prestige. You're driving down the road, you've got the eagle or whatever it is on the front, you know. You're driving a Rolls Royce, everyone looks at you. You're driving a Mercedes, people look, right? You're driving a Rolls Royce, everyone looks at you, who's this guy? Right? So they went to pick Prabhupada up in the Rolls Royce. So the reporter was saying to Prabhupada in the airport, they were doing an interview in the lounge, and said to Prabhupada, your movement is about renunciation and you're being picked up in a Rolls Royce. Right? What did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said, I say it is not enough. I say the representative of God, the guru, God's representative, should be picked up in a chariot made of gold and diamonds. He said, what is this car made of tin and rubber? You pick up God's representative in a car made of tin and rubber? This is not opulence. And this is your foolishness. This is called anartha. Anartha. Anartha means something which has no value. But in your mind, you think it is the most valuable thing. And you're so attached. People become so attached to their cars. Right? They become so attached to their everything in this material world. It is called anartha. So when you do devotional service, what takes place? The anartha, or the unwanted thing in the heart, nivritti. Nivritti means it becomes rejected or removed. Nivritti. It means becomes renounced. You have to renounce it. It has to be given up. Now, you can only give up something when you get something superior. That's the whole philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, param jushtva nivartate. If you don't get something better, you cannot give up the lesser thing. You cannot give up your material desires unless you get something better. So what is better than a Rolls Royce? What is better than all of the material opulences? What is better than artha and karma in this material world? Artha means wealth, karma means sense gratification. Hiranya Kashipu. Hiranya means gold, Kashipu means sex life, soft beds, like that. What is better than all this? What will make us give up all this? Yeah, prema, love for Krishna. What will make us give it all up? Well, how will you give up all of these unwanted things in your heart? How will you give up all of your material attachments and desires? Right? You have to go to Jhulan Yatra. Right? You have to swing Radha and Krishna on the swing. When you swing Radha and Krishna on the swing, you give up your material desires. Right? If you're doing it in the right consciousness, deeply, with love, with devotion, then you go to Baladev Purnim, right? And you worship Lord Balaram. Prabhupada says you can't enter Vrindavan unless you get Balaram's mercy. Right? How do we get Balaram's mercy? You serve Balaram all day. And what do you get at the end of the day? Right? 5 cups of Varuna juice. Right? You drink the Varuna juice, right? And then you become intoxicated. And then you, all the material things become insignificant. Right? And then you go to Janmashtami. And then what do you do at Janmashtami? And we said that last week. You serve all day, all day, all day, all day, until 1:30, 2:30 in the morning. From 4:30 in the morning till like that. You just serve Krishna. And you get such a taste that you give up all the material things. Right? And then Vyasa Puja, Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. And then we realize our debt to Prabhupada. And then yesterday we had Radhashtami. Now, if your material desires are still strong after yesterday, then there's something wrong with your application of bhakti. Because after yesterday, your material desire should be much less. All the anartha should seem insignificant. right, by Radharani's mercy. Right? If you serve Radharani, then all the material desires should disappear. Right? But it means you have to observe the day properly. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, and Haridas Thakur says that in the Harinam Chintamani. Sometimes we feel like our enthusiasm in devotional service is waning. Do you ever feel like that sometimes? You ever feel like sometimes you're feeling like your enthusiasm is going away? Right? So it is said in the Harinam Chintamani, if you're feeling like that, then you should observe these festival days very perfectly. It means you should attend the whole program like that, from Mangaladi all the way through. You should go for the kirtan, the aarti, you should go for the class. Right? You should help during the day during service for the festival, for the deities. Right? And at the end of the day, you take the Mahaprasad. Was it a nice feast last night? Did you eat too much? Prabhupada said on the feasts, you should eat up to the neck. I went a little bit further. I know when I've had enough when it starts coming out my ears. On the spiritual platform, not on the material platform. But this means you should fully absorb yourself in the festival. And by fully absorbing yourself in the festival, then the anattas will, you understand, this is the higher taste, this is what I'm looking for. I want to go back to Goloka. I want to go back and serve Radharani and Krishna. It's much nicer there. It's much better than this place. You can only lose your attachment to this place. This is pointed out by Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion. The 64 items of bhakti, or the 64 items of devotional service, one of them is Mathura Vas, and it's mentioned three times by Rupa Goswami in the 64. Three times he says, reside in Mathura Vrindavan, which means Mayapur and Jagannath Puri also. So he says three times, you should take residence. And Prabhupada points out in the purport, you can only give up your attachment to any place in this world that you're attached to if you become attached to your original home, which is Vrindavan. That's why we go to Vrindavan, so we lose our attachment to this world. Otherwise you'll stay attached to Mauritius or to Germany or to Bali or to Tasmania or to, you know, wherever you're attached to. So you can give up that attachment. And if you're living in Melbourne, and if you're attached to Melbourne, or attached to Albert Park, or attached to wherever, then you become attached to this temple, because this temple is not Albert Park. When you're in this temple, you're not in Albert Park. Right? It's wrong to think we're in Albert Park. Actually, at this point in time, we're in Vrindavan. Prabhupada said it. This is Vrindavan. Right? So you become attached to this place. And then, by becoming attached, then you lose your attachment to the material world. This is called anatta nivritti. This will be spoken of in the next few verses. Very famous verses. This is verse 14. verse 16, 17, and 18 are very important verses. Very famous verses. 17. Srinvatam, Swakata, Krishna, Punya, Shravanam, Kirtanam. Many devotees know this. 18. Nashta Prayesh, Pabhadreshu. Srinvatam, Swakata. This verse is representing anatta nivritti. Right? Removing the anattas from the heart. How do you remove the anattas? Srinvatam. Swakata, Krishna. Krishna kata. You hear Krishna kata. Hridyantasto yabhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. Is that 17 or is that 18?
17.
That's 17. Like that. So then means all the impurities are taken from the heart by hearing. Prabhupada says in the purport, Krishna does it. Krishna removes it all. You want to remove it all. Hands up if you want to get rid of your material desires. Right? Amen. Right? We want to get rid of the material desires. You want to give them up. But hands up if you have trouble giving them up. Right? Same club. We're all in the same boat. Sometimes we think, I'm the only one who's got the material desire. Sometimes I think if I tell the devotee will be shocked. Oh my God, you've got this desire in your heart? What's wrong with you? That's how I used to think when I was a new devotee. I used to walk around thinking, oh my God, you know, I'm so impure. If everyone knew what was going on in there, they'd kick me out of the temple.
Yeah, they wouldn't let me live in the ashram. And then after a couple of years, I realized we're all the same. Everyone's got the same desires. And even now, after practicing devotional service for a number of years, I've got the same desires I had before. Same desires that I had on day one, I've got on day, whatever the day is now. I've got the same desire that I always had. Maybe it's got a little bit smaller.
No.
Or maybe it's got bigger. But it's the same desire. It has to be removed from the heart. So, this is the process of bhakti. Shrinvatam. You want to get rid of it, but it's very difficult to remove it yourself. So therefore, the Bhagavatam says, Krishna will remove it. If he sees that you are honestly trying, right? If you sincerely want to get rid of your material desires, Krishna himself will remove it. Externally and internally. Right? Externally, he'll make your life in such a way that you have to give it up. Right? You have the desire, but Krishna makes your life in such a way you can't enjoy it. The desire is there, but you can't enjoy it. Krishna will do that. And internally, he will gradually cleanse it. So you understand, it's insignificant. It's nothing. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says, it is like flowers in the air. Have you ever seen flowers growing out of the clouds? Right? Why? Because they don't grow out of clouds. Right? It's called a phantasmagoria. Right? Something, it's just an imagination. It doesn't happen. Maybe in other places in the universe it does happen, but at least here it doesn't happen. Right? But you're attached to flowers growing out of clouds. That's what your material desires are like. Right? They're just flowers growing out of clouds. It's all going on in here. Right? It's all in here. It's all in your mind. You're just thinking, oh, this would be so nice. If only I could marry that person. Then I'd be so happy. Right? And only if I had this car, I would be so happy. And if I could only live in that house, I would be so happy. And if I had three kids, called Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Das. They've had three kids and they all went to private schools. And every morning they touch my feet when I get up. Right? And they always say, yes, Peterji, yes, Mataji, anything you want, I will do it. Right? And you think, this will bring you happiness. It's all in the mind. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. Right? Your kids will not listen to you. Right? Your wife and husband will not listen to you. Actually, no one listens to you. No one really cares what you think anyway. My guru Maharaj said to me one time, he said, who cares what you think? Right? He said to me, who cares what you think? He said, what do you want to do this? And I said, oh, I want to do it because of that. He goes, who cares what you think? I was just like, that's true, that's what I think. Like that. And then, Burujan Prabhu said, he was in a professor's office one time in, I think it was Malaysia or Philippines or somewhere, and he said there was a message on the desk, like a little sign on the desk. And the sign said, I used to always worry about what everyone was thinking about me. Right? Do you ever do that? Do you ever worry about what other people think about you? Yeah, I think we do that. I think about 50% of our japa time is thinking about what other people are thinking about us, isn't it? Does she really think I'm a good devotee, or does she think I'm... No. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I mean, half our life is just spent thinking about what other people think about us. So this sign said, I used to always think about what other people are thinking about me. Until I realized that no one is thinking about me. That's the material world. And we all get mental. Like we sit here in the temple and we think, oh, this person thinks like that. And most of the time they don't even think about us. Right? That's our position in the material world. Right? So it's all in the mind, basically. So at some point in time, and how do we reconcile this mental problem? How do you reconcile your mind? Right? Do you want to know the secret for dealing with your mind? Hands up if you want to know the secret for dealing with your mind. Okay, then come back next week for the class next week. Okay, any questions or comments?
No, there is a secret. So how to deal with the mind? Lord Chaitanya says, Trinada pi sumichina, Tarora pi sihishnuna, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniyaha, Sadahari. That is how you deal with the mind. Right? Become lower than the straw in the street. Become more tolerant than a tree. Be devoid of false prestige and always give respect to others. All of those four things are taking place in the mind. If you can master those four elements, you'll have a peaceful mind. More tolerant than a tree, right? Some devotee comes to you and says, you know, what sort of a person are you and you're like that, and they give you so much verbal criticism. If you're more tolerant than a tree, it doesn't mean anything to you because you're more humble than grass, right? You just fold your hands and say, actually, it's all true. And then it's dealt with. That's it. You don't have any mental anxiety. Okay. So this is the actual formula, right, to overcome, right, all of our anattas. Right? And actually, to go from the platform of anatta nivritti to the platform of nishta, that is how you do it. Because Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastika is based on these verses right here. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, if you want to go from anatta nivritti to nishta, it is based on this platform. This is the going from one to the other. It is Trinada Pisunichina. This is the level. And then what is the platform of nishta? Na danam, na janam, na sundarim. That is nishta. So Lord Chaitanya's teachings are based upon this exact part of the Bhagavad Gita. So if we practice it, if we actually practice it, we don't just come to the class and write the notes, right? But we actually begin to practice this philosophy, we'll become perfect in this lifetime. If you can master Trinada Pisunichina, you will go back to Godhead. If you can learn to be like that, what Lord Chaitanya instructs, if you can do it, you'll go back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, you'll be born again in
Kali Yuga.
Kali Yuga ki? You don't know where you'll be born next time, right? You think it's hard this time, it gets worse. But imagine being born again. To say, like, I'm 40, you know, 42 now. Say I die when I'm 84, say, if I'm half my life. That means I'm going to be born in another 40 years, and then by the time I'm 10, God knows what Kali Yuga is going to be like then. Do you really want to come back? Everyone sits there and goes, no, I don't want to come back. But in your heart, yes, you do want to come back. Now, you want to come back and play video games. And, you know, the video games will be much better then. Okay. So we have to get rid of these material desires. The only way you can get rid of them is you fully absorb yourself in bhakti. You surrender to Radha and Krishna, to Gaur Nithai. Make this your life. Right. So we'll stop here unless there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Then when you go to the deities and you pray to the deities, you know, I am really trying to get rid of these anattas. Especially of all the deities you go to in the Sringadeva. Right? You go to him and you say, Lord Nisringa, I want to give up these material desires. And he says, really? Right? And then he comes forward with his hands and he says, really? And you say, yeah, I want to give up these material desires. Except for this one. Like that. I really want to get. And he says, really? Like that. So if you pray, he will remove them. But you have to be serious when you pray. Because when he removes them, he removes them. Look what happened to Bhakti Tirtha Swami. Bhakti Tirtha Swami said, he took the mood of Vasudev Datta. What did Vasudev Datta pray? Vasudev Datta said, I don't want to go back to Godhead. I want to stay here and suffer so everyone else can go back to Godhead. Bhakti Tirtha Swami prayed like that. Right? And within a few months, right, that tumor on his leg, right, it turned into cancer. Right? And he had to have the leg amputated. Right? And then he had to go through so much suffering. But the whole time he went through that suffering, right, he kept saying, Vasudev Datta, Vasudev Datta. The whole time he went through that. He was in the mood that he was taking all the suffering of all the devotees in ISKCON so that they could be removed of their karma, so that they could practice their devotional service easily. Right. So when you get serious, when you go to the Lord with a serious prayer, the Lord will reciprocate like that. So if you go to Nisringadev, you say, Lord Nisringadev, please help me. I want to get rid of these material desires. And he'll say, yeah, okay, I'll remove them. But then that will be the test. Just like sometimes you're trying to take one of the toys off the kids. Okay, that's enough. You've played enough now. Time to go to bed. You take the toy off and the kid's holding on the toy. I want it. No, no. And the kid's on the ground and kicking the legs and screaming like that. Like that. So if you want to be like that with Krishna, then that's fine. But the parent always wins. If they're a good parent, they always win. Yeah, just, you know, when I was a kid and I was screaming, my mother would just grab the toy and just get it, just pick me up and say, listen, you're going to bed now, and that's it, put me in bed, and that was it. That's the end of the story. So either you can make Krishna's job easy or you can make Krishna's job difficult, but either way he's going to win. Like that. So if you're praying sincerely, then Krishna will help you. Is that okay? Any other question or comment? Speak loud. So. Yeah, you should pray. You should do both things. When you go before the deities, you should offer prayers which were written by the previous acharyas, because their prayers are full of perfect devotion. So we come before Radharani, Tapta Kanchana, Gaurangi, Radhe, Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu, Sute Devi, Prananami, Hari Puri, and there's so many prayers. So you repeat those prayers, but also you have your own personal prayers. Both, you have to do both. Because by reciting those prayers that the acharyas have written, you'll learn how to become a pure devotee. Because these prayers are written in pure devotion. And then we have our own personal prayers as well. You know, we say to the Lord, you know, Radharani, I'm trying to be your devotee, I'm not doing a very good job. Please help me. Like that. So then you have your own personal prayer as well. Like that. So both, you have to learn both. Okay. Any other question? Comment?
Every day when we come to pray before the deities, sometimes we can become mechanical. Sometimes, how do you avoid becoming mechanical?
How do you avoid? The question is, how do we avoid becoming mechanical when we offer our prayers to the deities like that? If you're sincere, then it won't be mechanical. You know, you can practice, you can chant your rounds every day mechanically because you have to, or you can begin to chant your rounds in such a way that you develop taste. So that's up to you. That's application, right? It's you have to be bhakti means that you have to be present while you're doing. Your mind has to be present while you're doing the activity. Just like you can sweep the whole floor and mop the whole floor of the temple for Krishna, so your body was there, but sometimes your mind's thinking of a brahmacharini. Right. So you're doing all the service, but your mind's not on the job. You're not thinking of Krishna, right? You're thinking of the material world, right? So you can do the activity, but bhakti means that eventually the mind has to also come into the activity, right? So we're chanting Hare Krishna, chanting the Maha Mantra, doing the sweeping the floor, and we become more advanced. Then you think, this is Radha and Krishna's temple. I'm in the spiritual world. I'm cleaning their temple. I'm fleeing their mandap, their mandir, or their kunj, where they live. So then you're thinking of Radha and Krishna while you're doing the service. So it's the same with all of our service, our prayers, our japa, our service. Our mind has to be on the job. So that requires practice. That's what sadhana is about. It's about practicing. So how to not become mechanical? Don't be mechanical. And if you feel sometimes you're becoming mechanical, then get some association with devotees who are more advanced. And by their association, you'll pick up their mood and then you'll be less mechanical. Is that okay? Okay. Any other question or comment?
Yeah, so that's why Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book. You read the Krishna book inside out, right, all 90 chapters, right? And then you know Krishna's pastime so well that when you're doing your service, you'll be thinking of Krishna. Prabhupada said that when you, if you read Krishna book before you go to bed, you'll dream about Krishna. And in the 1970s, in the early days of ISKCON, all the devotees in ISKCON, before they went to bed, they'd all sit around, they'd drink hot milk, and they'd read Krishna book. That was the program. If you're speaking prajalpa before you go to bed, then who knows what you'll dream about. If you, Prabhupada said, if you read Krishna book, you dream about Krishna. Although that hasn't happened to me yet. Sometimes I do read Krishna book before I go to bed, but I don't dream about Krishna. I'm still going to take more time for me. But still, Prabhupada is saying like that, that will lead to Krishna consciousness. Any other question or comment? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.